This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, it is Football Friday with Joey Harrington. The Ducks are on a bye. I have a very provocative question to open the show.
Provocative?
Are you ready?
I like it.
I like that word, yeah. Good.
Have you ever known a player to defecate on a coach's car?
No. Yeah. I haven't. Would you like to rephrase the question?
Ooh. Interesting. Have you ever heard of a player defecating on a coach's car?
That's good.
No.
What is a
player? Would you like to rephrase the question?
Why do you keep telling us there is something about someone defecating on a coach's car?
I never said anybody defecated on a coach's car.
What is the rumor?
I said that somebody defecated on the owner's car.
The owner's car. That's actually better.
That's even better. That's
yeah.
even
I know. Better.
So what is this about, and why on earth did we not, like, where did this come from?
Well, this came from a couple weeks ago because we were talking about something and it got boring or something like that. And you're like, well, you never bring any good stories anymore. I was like, well, what do you expect me to do? Talk about the time when, you know, a player on the team took a dump on the owner's car? And you're like, what?
The answer to that question is yes.
And it was right at the end of the show.
It's not story time. You've been very clear that these are Football
Friday. You can't do this to us. You have teased this well, last week we forgot.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're absolutely going to talk about this. You're simply setting up, like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And it came from eight weeks now, 10 weeks, 12 weeks. All we've been doing is talking about football. We don't tell stories like we do in the off season. So this was just like a one-off, and it was because you were accusing me of being boring. And I was like, look, it's football season. You do it to yourself.
Like, that's so true.
It's a valid point.
Yeah. I would never call you boring.
Touche. Touche.
Yeah. So the story is, we were coming back in. So let me preface by saying I will not use the players' names.
Names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Or exactly. Guilty.
So we were coming in the day after a rough game. Like, guys are injured. A bunch of guys on crutches, like, limping in. And the owner in the players' parking lot.
I'm laughing already, by the way. this is like my jam.
Their dealership, so they owned car dealerships.
Yeah.
And they would park the cars that they wanted to sell in front of the player's entrance, like in the parking spots, like right in the like right there. You know, they're a bunch of, you know, rich young guys, and there's an Escalade sitting there. It's like, of course you want to buy the, you know. And so everybody walks by. And as you're walking by, it wasn't so much the stench as it was the sheer size of this I mean, we are talking about, like, we all get into the locker room, and it's like, what in the hell was that? Did you see that? And they're like, yeah, I saw that. Did you see that? It's like, oh, my God, it looks like a bear took a dump on the car. Like, I was like, we're all like, yeah, that's not human. There's no way somebody could do that. It's like, that figure's massive. I mean, we're talking, like, a pile the size, like, King Kong, like the abominable snowman, like a massive pile of feces on the hood of this car that had been parked in the injured players' spots in an effort to get the players to walk by it and see it. But what happened is all these guys who were on crutches and all these guys who were limping in and, you know, coming in after, you know, iced up after a game, well, some people got pissed. Yeah. Like, people got really mad. And so somebody on the team convinced another person on the team to go talk to the head of security to make sure that at a certain time the camera system went on the fritz.
Jeez.
And so after that was confirmed, then and this was conveyed to me in, you know, secondhand info down the line. They then put on hooded sweatshirts, went to the cafeteria, and each got a carafe of coffee and a to-go container. And spent the next 30 to 45 minutes prepping the mission.
Percolating, if you will.
Percolating, yeah. Uh-huh. So after the percolation had finished, cue the cameras off, cue the hoods up, cue the to-go containers, and cue the giant, absolute pile of filth on the hood of the owner's car.
Right on the hood. Wait, was it the owner's car, or was this one of the cars that they had set out that they were trying to get the players
to buy, one of the cars that the owner was trying to sell.
Yeah, because
this is a brand new car with the tags on it, right? Like, sticker in the window. Hey, you know, $86,000, but to you guys, it's only $84. You know, and the players said, "Screw this! Here's a giant pile of." And he didn't park there the next day.
So wait, it sounds like there were multiple dumps. Were there multiple?
It sounds like maybe two.
There were
a second
two
spitter.
People. No. There were two assassins. It was a multi-man mission.
Yeah.
Hence the sheer size, yeah. And people doubting whether or not this could be done by either A, one person, or B, was this actually human?
Yeah. And quite frankly, you do not have to confirm anything, but I believe this is a Detroit Lion mission, and I'm already going through because it's a lineman. That's 100%. This is 100%. It's probably an offensive lineman, potentially an offense/defense, a multifaceted joint task force. But this screams O-line, and I will not mention any names, but I'm already going through rosters, just chuckling to myself, being like, yeah, I bet you it's him. Trust me, this is 100% something that was hatched up in an O-line meeting. It's just, this is what they do.
Mm.
And it's magical, and I couldn't be any happier.
Is he on to something?
So how do you want me to, because I don't want to completely shoot you down.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a yes.
Because I also love the fact that you feel a kindred spirit quality to this, to this mission.
Well, look,
but I will say that it is neither my first team nor the offensive line.
Interesting. That's an upset. Because I'll tell you right now, sitting in a locker room, if someone came to me with this sort of covert operation, I would pull the town. Whose car are we taking?
Can I? So I feel like, so if it wasn't your first team, then it wasn't Detroit. Then I think you were in Atlanta, and I feel like Arthur Blank may have dealerships.
Miami.
I don't know that Stephen Ross did.
New Orleans.
And then New Orleans. I think it's Atlanta.
The dirty. Well, it is the dirty South.
I think it's Atlanta.
That's the definition of the dirty South.
Are we close?
I see. Now we're getting down that path of starting to, to narrow things
so
down.
So it's Atlanta.
Yeah, it's probably Atlanta.
Yeah. Okay. And then
it warms my heart that this happened. It's just, there's something just disgusting and offensive and beautiful all wrapped into one.
You know what? It's so funny. Like you say that. And I think that in no other place could a giant pile of feces be considered like this incredible, I got your back moment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine in a locker room, like, all these guys coming in after losing a game and literally seeing guys, braced up and just getting so upset as a team leader. And it's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go take a dump on his car.
Yeah. You know what? It sends a message is what it is.
It's Miami. Steven Ross Auto.
Just love these sorts of
Steven things. Ross Auto. He owns an auto dealership. Your silence speaks volumes.
This just makes me so happy.
Now,
it's just so funny that like I could continue to spin you in all sorts of different directions but at no point am I going to say what it is or what it is.
No, it's because it's better left that way. That's just one of those you just keep to your chest. You keep it close and it just becomes the stuff of lore, and it's wonderful.
Are we to assume that the dumps were taken on top of one another? Is that why they were so large?
Maybe combined.
So the dumps. So imagine a styrofoam to go, like the white styrofoam to go containers, right?
Okay.
So each participant filled one of those.
And then combine. God. I think like a Voltron and sort of thing. They combined forces.
Exactly. And then delivered said product to the hood of the automobile.
Right, because you wouldn't want to squat on the hood.
Exactly. Because you only had a few seconds, right, when the cameras were going to go on the Fritz, right?
Oh.
That's a very integral piece or integral a part of this, right?
Yeah.
You have to imagine, like... God. Guys are coming in injured in the morning, right? You got to come in early for treatment. So you're seeing all these guys, and we're talking like 6:30 in the morning, right, Suk? I mean, you come in after a game to get treatment the next day. And so for this to happen, this had to be a coordinated effort before everybody else got there, right? So all the injured guys come in at, 7 o'clock, right? Pick your number. And then everybody else comes in at 8 o'clock, right? But so you had that time there where it's like, I have to consume the coffee. I have to get the to-go containers filled with the product. And I have to coordinate just the quick, 15 seconds to walk outside the locker room door to deliver the package and still make it look like it was just a blip in the security camera.
Dude, it's like Ocean's 11. You guys are like the USS Indianapolis delivering the bomb, the Hiroshima bomb. Like, you got it. I mean, it's covert stuff. And I respect the secrecy of said mission and the planning. I mean, that's professional work right there. It's great.
Yeah. And you weren't pulling a squat in the public because that gets you. I mean, you're on the first thing smoking, can you imagine like, and this is the other thing too. Like I sit there and laugh about it to myself sometimes. And then I think in what other world would somebody dare drop a deuce on your boss's car?
You don't.
And not just like your boss, but like these like literally people like who, I don't know, like, man, we got to talk about how the NFL isn't a real, like, it's not real world. Like, it's like this otherworldly experience.
Don't piss off NFL players.
No.
Duly noted.
Yes.
Did you ever, I was watching the Browns.
Take a dump on the owner's car? No, I did not.
I would not peg you as one to do such a thing. I was watching the Browns Steelers last night, and I'm convinced that Myles Garrett.
He's watching the Browns.
That's right.
Hey, that was a great game.
It is the Browns.
I loved that. Yeah, well, yeah, it all ties in.
Works.
And Myles, I'm convinced that Myles Garrett continues to get bigger until he's going to explode. He looks like Hulk Hogan now.
Terrifying.
It is terrifying. Who was the biggest guy, the most jacked guy you ever played with or around or against?
jacked or biggest.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they're different.
Jacked. There's a Miles difference. Garrett. Hey, did you see Miles Garrett last night?
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's massive.
He is. His arms are bigger than my whole body. Yeah. He is two of me on his arms.
Yeah. But see, there's a difference though, because like, remember, so I was in the league when David Boston was there.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. Remember David Boston?
He worked out. He worked out with Thomas Jones in Arizona, who was with me in Tampa. I think they were on the same program.
Right. So like, there are guys that are just like yoked beyond belief, but he took it to a point where it was detrimental, right? So there are only a handful. I mean, let me quantify this. The level of jacked or yoked or buffedness is not like, you know, normal day to day point of comparison. Like the floor of this is already like through the ceiling of most normal people. So like to say that David Boston was just over the top is like ridiculous over the top. But in terms of, I mean, God, like, but there's also like massive, massive human beings out there. Like Vince Wilfork, like he and by no means jacked, but massive, and he was faster than me.
Yeah, he's oversized.
That's like the tough question is it a 6'6", 265-pound Brian Urlacher, like standing over the top of the center, knowing that he could get from there all the way back and play center field and cover two? Or is it Vince Wilfork, who at 385 pounds could chase me down? Or is it a guy like David Boston, who you're like, you're literally just looking for the most ripped guy out there?
Yeah, we played in the preseason, because that's mostly what I did was preseason stuff. We played Chicago, and they had – do you remember Ted Washington?
Yes.
Do yourself a favor if you're listening and look up Ted Washington. And I don't know what Ted was listed at, but he was the largest human being. Like, he didn't move. They just put him at nose guard, and that was it. Like,
and he plugged a hole.
He plugged like nine holes.
Yeah, Pat Williams. Remember Pat Williams?
Yeah, I remember Pat Williams.
Yep. Pat was just a touch below that, where you paired him with Kevin Williams, and the two of them were wrecking shop in Minnesota.
They listed Ted Washington at 6'6", 375. I'll tell you right now, if he's 375, horse crap, then I'm 215. Dude, Ted was four spins, and you just... Chester McGill. I mean, there's a difference between...
Yeah, I was looking for jacked.
Yeah.
You know, like, because Miles Garrett, like... Yeah. I don't even know how to describe him.
Yeah.
At any rate, we must break. Do you think Joey Harrington is worried about Dan Lanning's aggressive nature? Find out next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back here with Joey Harrington, Football Friday. Let's get into something of some substance.
Oh, we've been dealing with substance.
We've been with plenty of substance. There's a lot already.
Can we clean it up? Maybe some cleaner substances?
Cleaner substances, that's true.
Okay, first of all, this is the tee-up question is what did you think of the Oregon going for the fake field goal in Wisconsin?
I think the better question is, were you surprised about the fake field goal?
Well, you can't be surprised, can you? That's him.
But, exactly, that's my point. Right, like you have to accept what I have had the guts to call that thing. No, of course not. Right, but there was obviously something that they saw, some look that they wanted. The crazy thing is, had tight end simply released, taken an inside release and not swung wide, you know, that they'd still probably be running. The thing was, it was there.
Yeah.
Now, I think you have to you know that something like this is coming. You do. Whether it's the onside kick against Ohio State, whether it's going for it on the goal line on fourth down against Washington, like, he has established that this is the style of football he's going to play. And frankly, I love it. I do. I love the aggressive nature. And with that, you have to accept that sometimes it's going to bite you.
Yeah. And I think go ahead.
That's the tough part is, you can't second guess and say, oh, I liked it, I didn't like it, because your opinion is always based on whether or not it worked, right? If it worked, oh my God, that's the greatest call in the world. Like, you know, oh, you know, big, you know, what did they used to call all the student section, like, you know, they, you know, big balls chip. And like, because when it works, it's great, but this didn't work. And so I don't feel like you can make a neutral observation around it, because you have the results already.
Yeah.
Am I surprised that he did it? Nope, I'm not.
Well,
he's aggressive. He's going to play percentages. I would be curious to know what the conversation was around it, right? Because that was what I thought immediately afterwards. Is like, if you're going to go for it on fourth down, well, or I should say this, was it a four down situation? And if it wasn't a four down situation, are you trying to get the field goal? Do you feel like the fake field goal is your best option because they're giving you a look that you like? Maybe they gave it to you earlier in the game, right? So then do you run the ball? You ran the ball three times leading up to it. I don't know. Like, I'm just really curious to know what the conversation was that led to that situation.
We had him on yesterday and we pressed him on that.
Yeah.
We did talk to him about that. And, you know, he, without saying it, he basically is just saying, hey, if the look's there, we're going to take it. Yeah. Right? Yep. I mean, is that how you see it too?
He basically said that in that situation, if the look was there, we run it. If the look's not there, I kick the field goal and I let our defense play. Yes. So he said it was a check call that they went up there, and he said, regardless of the situation, if that look had been there, we're running.
And you're right. He even said, he's like, that was there.
Yeah.
And it was there. Just the guy made a great play, tripped him up. But I feel like, but then Suk was pressing him on, well, you know, does the situation in the game matter? Is it just always going to be like that? And he kind of basically said, you know, it's just always going to be like that. Yeah. He's just going to look at the situation and say, that's a look we want. We're going to do it.
Yeah, because I was like, I mentioned a lot of times now in the NFL especially, I don't think it's trickled down quite as much to college, but you're seeing more and more coaches just like, I'm ending the game here. Like, We're not playing conservative. We're not, especially against like Mahomes and Josh Allen. We're not kicking field goals, going up by six, and giving you the ball. We're not doing it.
Yeah, but there's even a difference between just saying we're ending the game here, whether we get it or don't.
Yeah.
And what Dan is saying, there's a difference between that and saying if the look is there.
Yeah.
Regardless of the situation, we're going to take it, right? Those are two different things to me.
Yeah,
the first is like, you know, percentages be damned. I'm just going to go for it. Dan's situation is essentially it's like a check with me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You get to the line of scrimmage, you get the cut. You look for the look that you like on the other side, and you run your play accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. That's smart football. And I think that if you start to change away from that or shy away from that, just because the situation, I don't know, you get nervous, or because you're trying to preserve something, or because you're trying not to lose, then that's exactly what's going to happen, yeah. Right? You know, there's a difference between scared money don't make money, yeah, and being reckless. Just for the sake of being reckless, and I think there's always been a reason behind the aggressive decisions that Dan has made.
Yeah. Well, he's talked about it. I mean, people sometimes make stuff more complicated than it has to be, but I mean, Joey, you know, he's a quarterback. As an old lineman, we just come up on a lot of it is just a count. Like,
yeah,
you know, hey, do we have four or do we have five to the side? If we have four, we run the play. If we have five, we either go, you know, with a kill, and we change to something else, or we run it to the other side. And, you know, I mean, there is something simplistic, but also, I mean, it's, you appreciate the fact that that's what I took it as. It's simply a count. If we outnumber them, we are going to do this. And he really doesn't care about the situation. He proved it. He ran a fake punt in a somewhat close game. It wasn't a blowout yet. He ran a fake punt from his own 20-yard line to Jordan Birch, for God's sakes. Why? Because the look was there.
And because Jordan Birch is a 6'5", 290-pound running back, that's why.
Right, but I mean, you would think that, like, that just... If you want to know that he doesn't care and it is literally based on the count and this is the look, that's the one that, yeah, you're like, well, if it's there, they're going to do it.
And I guess you're right.
And I don't care about the blame or the consequences. He will sit there, as Rob said, and be like, what? The number was there.
Well, you're right about consistency. I'm with you on that. Hey, that's who he is. Yeah. Expect it. But I thought the Wisconsin game was interesting because it was the complete opposite of the Ohio State game.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it.
And I wouldn't have done it either. I would have just kicked. I would have taken three. You hate going up six.
Yeah.
But if you get three there, you now force Wisconsin to have to score a touchdown, and they were not going to score a touchdown. So I think it's a different game, and you have to view it differently.
Who says you get three?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, we're making the assumption. Like, yeah, there's three scenarios in this. The, yeah, first is that, well, there's four scenarios. The first is you run the fake and don't get it, which is what happened. The second is you run the fake and you do get it, in which case ball game's over. The third situation is you kick it and go up six. The fourth situation is you kick it and you miss. Like, these are all realistic, yeah, scenarios.
But that's the same as not getting the fake.
Yeah.
And it's a way higher percentage chance of getting the field goal than the fake.
Sure.
So, I just think
it's interesting.
Look, there are people that are worried that this is going to bite Oregon in the biggest moment. Yeah. And that may be true. And I think that if that happens, we're all going to come back here and say, hey, well, okay, but
this is him.
And that's you'd rather lose that way, yeah, than... Yeah. Him, like you say, getting conservative.
I would too. I will not be the one that fillets him in a national title game. If something like that happens and they lose, you will not get criticism from me because he has shown you who he is. And you can't love it when it's against Texas Tech in the third quarter and hate it. Or, you know, and he did it against Washington. I mean, he's just, this is him.
He's consistent.
Yeah.
The other thing too, though, you got to understand is, well, I shouldn't say it like that, but this program hasn't won a national championship.
True.
No.
Gotta right? go for
like,
it.
What exactly? Yeah. Like, would you rather sit there and be conservative and still sit on the edge? Like, let's say you get to that situation where a decision that Dan makes ends up costing, you know, you don't get it and you lose.
Yeah.
I would much rather be in that situation saying, you know what, I laid everything out there, as opposed to saying, you know what, I tried to save it and I tried to get conservative, and you know what, I still like, I'm sorry. Like,
I agree.
Like, yeah, as somebody who has helped build this program and have sat here for what, the better part of 2.5 decades saying, dang, we're close, dang, we're close, dang, we're close. Man, let's go get it. Yeah.
You know who comes to mind when you say that? The Bills.
Yeah.
You know, the Bills, you know, a couple decisions here and there against the Chiefs, yeah, and then they get into a game against the Chiefs last week.
They learned.
And they learned, and they said, you know what, we're going, they pulled the Dan Lennon. Like, yeah, we're going to run this. Yes. We're going to get the, yeah, first down.
And I love that. And I,
that's right. That's how you win.
Yes. I will never fault teams. Ravens did it right. Bengals did it going for two to win a game and you miss it. If you tell me that I've got one play to win a game, I will never fault the coach for having the big onions or big balls or whatever to say we win it right here. And in that situation, it's not even if you don't get it, you lose it. But in the 2-point world, it does, right? You lose the game. I just will not be critical of something one play. Because if you told most people in a huge opportunity, you get one play to win this thing, I think most people take that, especially if maybe you're an underdog.
I agree.
Okay. Thanks for the doo-doo stories. That was great.
I love that. Yeah, I got all sorts of these fun things.
The old rookie dookie.
We're going to figure it out.
You're actually not going to figure it out.
Really? It was you, wasn't it?
No, you're not. It was me.
All right. Well, have a great weekend, and enjoy the bye, and we'll talk Huskies next week. Thanks.
Yeah,
all right, that's Joe Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. What if this happened on your flight? Next in the club on The Fan.